A reading is from Robert Fulham's All I Really Need to Know When I'm in Kindergarten. Giants, wizards, and dwarves was the game to play. Being left in charge of about 80 children, 7 to 10 years old, while their parents were off doing parenting things. I mustered my troops in the church social hall and explained the game. It's a large-scale version of rock, paper, scissors, and involves some intellectual decision-making. But the real purpose of the game is to make a lot of noise and run around chasing people until nobody knows which side you're on or who won. Organizing a room full of wired-up grade schoolers into two teams, explaining the game, achieving consensus on group identity, all of this was no mean accomplishment. But we did it with the right goodwill, and we were ready to go. The excitement of the chase had reached a critical mass. I yelled out, "You have to decide now which you are, a giant, a wizard, or a dwarf." While the groups huddled in frenzied, whispered consultation, a tug came at my pants leg. A small child stood there looking up, and she asked in a small, concerned voice, "Where do the mermaids stand?" "Where do the mermaids stand?" A long pause, a very long pause. "Where do the mermaids stand?" I said. "Yes, you see, I'm a mermaid," she said. "There are no such things as mermaids," I said. "Oh, yes, I am one." She did not relate to being a giant, a wizard, or a dwarf. She knew her category, mermaid, and she was not about to leave the game and go over and stand against the wall where a loser would stand. She intended to participate wherever mermaids fit into the scheme of things, without giving up her own dignity or identity. She took it for granted that there was a place for mermaids and that I would know just where. Well, where do mermaids stand? All those who are different, who do not fit the norm, and who do not accept the available boxes and pigeonholes. Answer that question, and you can build a school, a nation, or a world on it. What was my answer at that moment? Every once in a while, I say the right thing. "The mermaid stands right here by the king of the seas," says I. "Yes, right here by the king's fool," I thought to myself. So she and I stood there hand in hand, reviewing the troops of wizards and giants and dwarfs as they roiled by in wild disarray. It is not true, by the way, that mermaids do not exist. I know at least one personally. I have held her hand.
In the reading that you just heard from Robert Fulghum, that children are playing a game when they're suddenly forced to choose their identity, giant, wizard, or dwarf. And presumably within the confines of the game, that identity will determine their fate. The expectations of our society often force us into making decisions just like that. Are you a conservative or a liberal? Are you gay or straight? Are you male or female? And all these labels, these boxes, have predetermined limits and expectations. I grew up in a time when the box that defined what it meant to be male or female was pretty confining. Thankfully, due to the courage of many, many people, like the mermaid in the story, the walls of those boxes, those identities, are beginning to be more permeable, more flexible, more nuanced. For those who want life to be simple and narrowly defined, this expanding awareness and celebration of true diversity is unsettling. It's confusing, and it can even seem threatening. I watched a speech from Julie Payette recently, our newly appointed Governor General. And actually, she's taken a lot of heat for a couple of clips from that speech. Actually, the speech is not as bad as the clips would make it sound, I think. But I think she fell into that narrowly defined idea of boxes, there's a box that's science and there's a box that religion, and they have quite rigid walls. And one box is better than the other. Unitarian Universalism is a faith tradition that is comfortable with flexibility, with subtlety, and with nuance. The boxes of most religions are created by their fixed creeds and dogmas, and we proudly reject creeds and dogmas. We break down the walls of those boxes. In today's sermon, I'm going to ask you to consider how the idea of identity and meaning are related in your life, and the role that this congregation plays for you in clarifying your spiritual identity and your sense that your life has meaning. So let me start with a brief definition of identity. It's that set of characteristics by which others know us, or the characteristics by which we self-identify. And those two perceptions, how we see ourselves and how others see us, may be very different. But ultimately, our identity is our source of dignity, our source of pride, and our source of honor. The challenge-lighting words that we use today that we read in unison ended with the statement, "We are Unitarian Universalists." I expect and I hope that on this Pledge Sunday, most of you spoke those words with pride. But I recognize that others may not be prepared to make that declaration, at least not just yet. For most UUs, what we choose to declare publicly is not as important as what we choose to do publicly. On the cover of the Order of Service today is a quote attributed to Lynn Namka, a psychologist and author. It says, "As you grow older, the call comes from your intuition and from your deepest sense of self to search for a spiritual identity and to find meaning in life." Concept of identity, spiritual or otherwise, with all its ambiguities, is simple compared to the concept of meaning. For our lives to have meaning, we must connect with something that transcends our life. That may be our work in the world, it may be our place as part of the natural world, it may be our family and our children, or it may be a connection with the highest of human aspirations for peace and for justice. A quote from the author Salman Rushdie beautifully connects the idea of identity and meaning. He wrote, "Who am I? My answer, I am everyone whose being in the world has been affected by mine. I am anything that happens after I've gone, which would not have happened had I not come. Nor am I particularly exceptional in this matter, for I, every one of the now 6 billion of us on this planet, contain a similar multitude. I repeat for the last time, to understand me, you'll have to swallow the whole world." Here ends the quote. We are Unitarian Universalists. When we come to this wonderful congregation to find support as we forge our own spiritual identities and strive for meaningful lives. Here in this congregation, we have found a spiritual home. We have a sanctuary, both physical and metaphorical, where we feel safe to work out our own spiritual identity. This isn't easy. In preparing for this sermon, I came upon this excerpt of a writing from Brian Andreas. I don't know the full context of this. Only a couple of lines. "There are your fog people and your sun people," he said. I said, "I wasn't sure which kind I was." And he nodded. "Fog will do that to you," he said. Sometimes we get so enveloped in the fog, searching for spiritual identity and for meaning in our lives, that we end up in perpetual search, lost in the fog. True spiritual identity and meaning are found not in our words, but in our action. At some point, we need to stop searching and start taking action. That's when the fog lifts, That's when the sun begins to break through. I want to share a poem by UU Minister Kenneth L. Patton. Patton is a poetic, naturalistic humanist. What's that for an identity? It's been said about Kenneth Patton, who is now deceased, it was he who taught a monotone rationalism how to sing. It was he who taught a stumble-footed humanism how to dance. It was he who cried, "Look," and taught our eyes to see the glory in the ordinary. From his poem, The Way. I must live my own way, refusing all that binds. I must know my own mind among all the minds. I must do my own deeds, and in whatever lands, I will know my own hands among all other hands. I must forsake the crowds and walk with lonely fools to seek for my own face in bleak, deserted pools. I must leave worn old roads to walk on hillside grass, to follow my own feet out into the wilderness. Patton is speaking metaphorically about leaving worn old roads to walk out into the wilderness. But it's more than a metaphor. We need to be in the world, not isolated from it. Identity and meaning. Clearly, you can have a strong identity without having meaning in your life. Although such an identity would be shallow and disconnected from the profound questions that the universe is asking us. Arguably, you can also have meaning without identity. When your sense of meaning transcends your identity, when you're so engaged in the world that you lose yourself, your sense of self. Listen carefully to these words by Viktor Frankl. By declaring that the individual is responsible and must actualize the potential meaning of their life, that's your challenge. Actualize your potential meaning. He wrote, "I wish to stress that the true meaning of life is to be discovered in the world rather than within the person or the individual psyche, as though the psyche were some kind of a closed system. I have termed this the self-transcendence of human existence. It denotes the fact that being human always points in a direction to something or someone other than ourselves, be it a meaning to fulfill or another human being to encounter. The more one forgets themselves by giving themselves to a cause to serve or another person to love, the more human they become. What is called self-actualization is not an attainable aim for all, for the simple reason that the more one would strive for it, the more one would miss it. In other words, self-actualization is possible only as a side effect of self-transcendence." Here ends the quote. When we're at our best, we're not solitary, independent agents concerned primarily with our own destiny. We have instead a more complex awareness that who we are, our identity, is a function of who we are with. We are relational creatures. Everything about us is shaped by our connections or our disconnections with those around us. This morning on this Pledge Sunday, may we be energized and inspired by the opportunities that this congregation provides us to strengthen our spiritual identities and to give meaning to our lives. In Viktor Frankl's words, we are each responsible to actualize the potential of our lives. We are blessed to have this sanctuary to do that work. May it be so. And amen.